Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A look ahead to the Combine. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and today, the Combine is right around the corner, so we are going to be breaking down the players to watch and what to watch for with two very special members of the Fantasy Pros team. Of course, Andrew Erickson, our newest member of our team at Fantasy Pros, but really, he's not really that new. He was kind of with us all last season, so kind of new. Also, Scott Bogman, who was kind of with us last season, but he's now taken over the Dynasty podcast, which has been fantastic. Him and Pat Fitzmaurice, if you haven't checked it out, I am begging you, run to wherever you get your podcasts and check it out. It is fantastic. I've listened to the first two these guys have done, and it's just awesome stuff. So who better to break down some of these prospects as we're going to watch some three cone drills and some sprints. And Andrew Erickson, I'm going to start with this. What do you bench nowadays? Where are you at with your bench press?
Well, you know, I work out from my garage now, and I don't actually know how much weight I'm moving. I'm just kind of like, throw on the weights. All of the weights I use, the plates I use are so old that you can't even see the numbers on them. So I'm just like, well, like, this is heavy. This feels heavy to me. So I'm going to pretend it's 225 and I'm just, you know, repping it in for reps basically. But no, I mean, even in my prime physique, I mean, I was barely, you know, moving 225. I just, it's not my build, man. No, I was more, I win with quickness, not strength.
Wiry. That's what you are. You're wiry. And Scott Bogman, speaking of peak fitness, I assume you're at your peak as well. Is that correct?
Fitness burger in my mouth. Yeah, that's right. So, right. Exactly. I had a bunch of 12 ounce curls. You know, I do have to move my cat around. He's probably 10 pounds. So, you know, I get it done when I can, you know. So,
yeah, absolutely. All right. Before we get into the players to watch for the combine that's coming up very shortly here for the NFL, I want to remind everybody we've got that giveaway going on. Only a few days left. It's going to be up on the 28th of February for that Stefon Diggs autographed helmet. You can go and enter that contest at fantasypros.com/contest. And all you have to do to get into that contest is subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. And don't forget, when you do it, to click that little bell for notifications, so you know every time a glorious piece of content drops. I'm pretty sure we've got like 12, 13 podcasts a day that we're releasing on the YouTube channel, or at least that's what Chris, our producer, seems to tell me all the time. But we have got an incredible amount of content for you here with the NFL draft. We'll be here before we know it, too. We'll be live streaming that again, so make sure you hang in there. And I know Andrew and Scott are going to be with us for that, too. So make sure that you're part of the family here, Fantasy Pros, by joining our YouTube channel. And go win yourself a Stefon Diggs helmet, fantasypros.com/contest. And that's it for today. That's nice and easy, right? How about that? So let's get right to the football, boys. should we take our shirts off for this show? I mean, and run around. I mean, that's kind of what they do, right?
I mean, no, thank you.
You don't think the ratings will go up? Okay.
I mean, look, you're going to have to pay me a lot of money to take my shirt off. So the embarrassment is not that that's not going to happen for me, Joe.
I'll do some budget checks somewhere middle of the show and we'll see what's going on. All right. Let's kick things off here with the running backs and Scott Bogman, since you are the host of the Dynasty Football Podcast here at Fantasy Pros, I'm going to just clear the stage for you here. And Breece Hall is the guy, right, that everybody keeps talking about as the consensus number one. Do you agree with that? And what do we need to see from Breece Hall in the upcoming combine?
As of now, I still have to do a little more diving, but Breece is my number one on my board right now. And I think the top four have kind of separated themselves. And if I'm these guys, I probably am not doing a lot of these drills. Breece Hall from Iowa State, Isaiah Spiller from Texas A&M, Kenneth Walker from Michigan State, and Kyron Williams from Notre Dame. I think all of those guys, I think Walker can help himself in the passing drill because he's not really known as a pass catcher, a little bit of a body catcher. I think he had 19 receptions throughout his college career. So just not a lot of experience there. Kyron Williams, I mean, when you look at his comps, it's all, you know, pass catching back. So that's kind of, he's going to have that McKissick that I think Pierre Thomas was one of his comps, kind of probably one of those roles to start. I think, you know, he can probably only hurt himself or maybe gain a little momentum by having a great 40 time. So that's something that I don't know if any of those four guys are going to participate in anything outside of interviews and measurements and stuff like that, because I think their stock can really only probably move down. So the other guys, there were guys from the Senior Bowl, Shrine Bowl week that moved themselves up boards, in my opinion, and Ty Chandler from North Carolina, Pierre Strong from South Dakota State, Tyler Batty from Missouri, and Damian Pierce from Florida. And I think it's about maintaining for those guys. Just have decent numbers. You don't have to kill yourself in the combine. You don't have to put up some eye-popping numbers. You just have to not run terrible to keep yourself solidified as a draft pick, most likely on day three for all those guys. And then guys that can gain here for me, Joe, it's James Cook from Georgia. It's Tyler Algier from BYU, Rashad White from Arizona State, Hassan Haskins from Michigan, Brian Robinson from Bama, Jerome Ford from Cincinnati. I think that is my favorite group of running backs outside of the ones that I've already talked about. I'm looking for those guys to make an impact, have a good 40 time, have a good vert, you know, bench press a million, however you get it done, put up some good numbers to get eyes on you. And then there are a lot of guys that have just everything weighing on this plus their pro day, right? Because a lot of guys can run bad. I mean, I think the famous one in terms of running backs was Maurice Claret running almost a 5 in the 40, right? It was like almost 5 flat or something. And he went from a second to third round pick to a 6th round pick, and I don't know where he is now. Parole somewhere, I think, maybe. But guys
that can... home listening.
Yeah. He's right where we are, listening. That's right. But guys that can make or break for me, Deshaun Corbin from Florida State. This dude was a, you know, 5-star recruit coming into Florida State, played behind some bad offensive lines on some rough offensive teams. I think if he puts up some numbers, he's going to start to get a little buzz. Jerry Neely is a great scat back out of Ole Miss. Tressen Ebner from Baylor, Ty Davis Price from LSU, Sincere McCormick's one of my favorites from UTSA. Would love to see him put up some good numbers. There's some pre-draft buzz on Devontae Price from Florida International, which has since kind of slipped. So I think a lot of these secondary guys, these are the guys that need to have something go well for them to boost their stock right now, in my opinion.
All right, before I go to Andrew, I have a follow-up for you on Hassan Haskins, specifically of Michigan, because he was an intriguing player to me. Watching, we talked, obviously, in the College Football Show. If you missed it all season long on the Betting Pro side, Scott Bogman and I, every single week, we're doing the College Football Wagering Show, and we watch a lot of Haskins, you and I. And Haskins, to me, kind of stood out as a different body type, a body type more like the throwback late 80s, early 90s Marcus Allen type running back, a little bit more slender. We're used to these guys having these huge legs and these big physiques now, and these like powerful looking kind of guys. He was a little bit different of a body type. Do you think in the NFL that sort of body type and running back still plays?
I think it can. I think there's a couple guys that have that type of body in this draft, particularly.
There are. You're right.
Rashad White has that. Tyler Algier is a former linebacker. He has that a little bit, you know, tall, the 6 foot, just a little bit over 6 feet tall, 220, not 240, you know, so you're kind of a tweener. You're not that 230, 240 power back. You're not that 190 scat back Antonio Gibson type either. But I think he can play. He's, you know, Haskins is a two down back to me. I think he had 19 career receptions, 24 career receptions in college. So he's not going to catch the ball many, many times, but he can be your first, second down thumper. But that's another guy, you know, he's going to have to run a decent 40. He can't have a, right. you know, below 4.5 40 and or well below 4.5 40 and expect to be drafted in the top five rounds here.
All right, Andrew Erickson, let's go to you now for your tail of the tape of the running backs here. For you, is it Breece Hall at the top? How do you see Spiller, Walker, Williams, those guys? Are they far away or are they right there with Breece Hall? And who else has something to prove here at the Combine coming up?
Yeah, I also have Breece Hall ranked as my number one running back in this class. I just think that his college production profile is just is off the charts. Like, the guy was scoring touchdowns left and right every single week. And it's just too good to ignore, honestly. And that's kind of what honestly separates him the most. And he also thrived as a receiver. Like, he has a three down skill set, was exactly what you want. And the only thing that I kind of wanted to see more of was kind of like explosiveness. Now, again, he's wearing, you know, the Iowa State jersey. So I'm like, okay, like, I'm seeing kind of like David Montgomery, but I know that he should be more explosive than a David Montgomery, but it's hard to not draw some types of parallels to those guys. When I kind of rewatched him, the guy that kind of stood out to me in terms of his comp was DeMarco Murray. There is a guy that can, and we saw Murray when he got the workload, like, he dominated. Like, he, and that's what Breece Hall can do. Like, if a team invests, you know, a second round pick in him, like, you're going to feel great about drafting him in dynasty leagues and in redraft. Like, he's going to be a guy that we kind of view in a similar ilk to like last year's Najee Harris, where this guy can do it all. And Harris, again, not the most explosive running back. I would probably put Breece Hall in that category as well, but it depends on how he tests. If he ends up testing to see how explosive he is. And that's kind of how I feel about a lot of these running backs. Isaiah Spiller, I kind of want to see, you know, what's his, you know, he's a big back, like 6'1", 225. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a lot of size and he doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on the tires. We talked about him. He's kind of always been in a somewhat of a committee, not because of lack of skill, just because they like to use other running backs kind of alongside him at the college level. So I think that that is something to kind of look out for Spiller. You know, does he have elite speed? He only had 8 carries of 20 plus rushing yards in 2021. So maybe that's potentially something that kind of holds him back. Kenneth Walker, I expect to be the most explosive of the backs. To me, whenever I was researching him, kind of watching him, it's like, this guy is just like giving off like these major Javonte Williams vibes.
Home run hitter.
Yeah. Home run hitter, tackle breaking machine. And that's Kenneth Walker. So I would expect him, you know, if he wants to cement himself as the true RB1 in this class, I think this is where he does it. Like, if he blows out the testing and all the drills out of the water, which ultimately kind of just looking at the way that these guys are set up and what their strengths are, he should be the most dominant running back at the combine and should submit himself as the number one running back in the real circle of NFL. So I think those are something to look at. I know that Bob mentioned as well, you know, 4% target share his junior year. He caught 13 passes for 80 yards. Like, we want to see him look fluid as a receiver. Like, is he letting it hit his body? Like, we want to see him catch it with his hands, because the knock on a lot of college running backs is, oh, they didn't catch passes. Well, just they didn't throw him the ball. So yeah,
it's not part of some college.
Doesn't mean
offense.
They can't, like, do it. Right. Right. Yeah. It doesn't mean they can't do it. It just means that they weren't given the opportunity.
Exactly. So I think that, again, obviously, you know, you're not going to knock a guy like a Breece Hall or Isaiah Spiller, who did, you know, catch a lot of passes at the college level. Like, that is definitely part of their game that we don't need to find out about. Like, we know they are capable pass catchers, especially also with Kyren Williams as well, who's, I think, is an above average pass catcher. So that's just one of the question marks we want to hopefully get answered with Kenneth Walker. And the other guy I think that will probably see the biggest rise, depending on how he tests, is Damian Pierce from Florida. You know, I comp him to, you know, first I looked at him as kind of like a Stephen Ridley type of player. And I also ultimately looked at him as like a kind of similar to Damian Harris. And, you know, Damian Harris has graded really well per PFF his 2 years in the NFL. Last year, Damian Pierce was PFF's highest graded running back. So there's a reason why I saw a little bit of Damian Harris in Damian Pierce's game, is because he's doing all the things that you want to see from your running back. He's breaking tackles. He's picking up chunk yardage after contact. That's what Damian Pierce is doing. and they just didn't use him enough at Florida.
Yeah. Like, they have the weird, Florida's done this for years, and we'll see with the new coaching staff there this year, but they've used 3-4 backs every single game. It's almost like Michigan, you know, until this year, mm-hmm. Michigan always used to use 17 backs a game. It's like, it literally be like 10 guys get a carry every single
game.
But
that's not a bad thing, guys, because I feel like some of these other running backs, we just talked about it yesterday on the show, right, Andrew? We were talking about how some of these guys get burnt out before they even get to the NFL. Some of these guys are in the timeshares. You know, I think that's why there was some appeal to the Javonte Williams of the world, because like, well, he's not handling the whole workload. He didn't handle the whole workload the first year. Maybe he's a little bit fresher. Maybe he becomes a better dynasty investment as time goes on. Maybe he will be slightly more durable as opposed to the guys who get burnt out, the Barkleys of the world and the Todd Gurleys of the world, or should I say anybody who played at Georgia's of the world, because those guys seem to burn out pretty quick.
Georgia uses
at the
multiple
NFL level.
Guys too. That yeah. Todd Gurley.
Yeah, they just used them into the ground. I guess that's the problem. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Pristine Auction. If you are looking for the greatest NFL, MLB, NBA, it doesn't matter what sport you love, because Pristine Auction has the greatest swag you're ever going to find. And we're talking about autographed helmets, jerseys, posters, anything you could possibly imagine. Pristine Auction has got it, and it can be yours, and you can start bidding today for free on any of that stuff just by signing up. And when you sign up with the promo code FANTASYPROS, then you get a $5 credit on us as well. What could be better than that? Here's $5 free. Start bidding on something amazing, and you can put it in your man cave, your she shed. You can give it away as a gift, or you can just gift it to yourself. But you gotta get involved and start bidding today at Pristine Auction. That's Pristine auction.com. Once again, that's pristineauction.com. Everything there is authentic and backed by their certification of authenticity, and there's stuff there that's affordable too. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars to put a smile on your face. So go to pristineauction.com today, sign up with the promo code FANTASYPROS, take that $5 credit, and start bidding on some incredible items today. Again, that's pristineauction.com. And now back to the action. Scott Bogman has done a phenomenal job here of compiling a list of people's comps to some of these players. And I just want to have some fun and throw these out there as we're, you know, as people are watching some of these players potentially for the first time. And some of the guys here we have on this list, I want to start with Breece Hall. Lance Zierlein as a Matt Forte.
I like that one.
Comp to him. I like that one too. I was going to ask you guys,
it's
how
a
do you
little
feel about
hyperbolic.
This one?
It's a little
like high end, right? That's yeah, like if it could all
exactly.
go perfectly, right?
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of these comps that are like, I think my guy Joe Marino from the Draft Network compared Kenny Pickett to Joe Burrow, right? Well, it's not, he's not Joe Burrow, right? This is his play style. This is what he looks like when you're watching him. It doesn't mean they're going to turn into that guy in terms of fantasy success or real success, obviously. It's just...
What do you think of that, Will... Will Forte? Not the same guy. What do you think of MacGruber? No, what do you think of the Matt Forte comp here, Andrew, to Breece Hall?
Yeah, I think it makes sense stylistically. You look at Matt Forte as a guy that, you know, he thrived as a receiver. Like, he was really good in the passing game, very effective in the passing game, but not necessarily someone that you looked at as this like athletic marvel, like, oh, like he's Adrian Peterson. It's like, no, like that wasn't really Matt Forte. Matt Forte obviously had a really good style and it translated very well to the NFL and for really more purposes, like for fantasy. And that's kind of what is important to talk about here. Like, we can talk about how the NFL likes Kenneth Walker as the number one running back. That doesn't mean he's the best running back for fantasy football, which right. in my opinion right now is Breece Hall.
All right, tell me this. Who fits better in this comp for Kenneth Walker? Because there's three of them here that have been tossed out there into the ether by some of these people who do this for a living and these draft comps and these scouts. Is it Kenneth Walker more Knowshon Moreno, Willie Parker, or D'Angelo Williams in your opinion, Andrew?
Go with Willie Parker, man. That guy had the breakaway run.
Explosive.
Like, what was his nickname? What was his nickname?
Fast yeah. Willie.
Boggs knows.
Yeah.
Fast Willie.
Very clever nickname.
I mean, so funny story. This is a little bit of a sidebar, but funny story. The only
is it appropriate for the program?
It is.
We
it is.
I
Joe,
always got to check with
you. Joe.
I got to check with you sometimes.
Come on,
all
man.
Right.
Come on. I'm kind of a professional.
Sort of professional.
But anyway, yeah. The only reason he got a look was because I think Art Rooney II was at a UNC spring practice and saw him playing. Guy didn't even get playing time at UNC. And he said, you got to bring this guy in for a look because he was just so fast. And that is how he ended up making the Steelers roster. So, you know, that, but I think he's, you know, a lot of these comps will be like, you know, Andy Dalton in his prime, or I think I saw one that was slimmer.
Well, don't blow all the fun games we've got planned here. I want to do more of these.
All right. All right. But I'm just saying, if we're saying this one for Kenneth Walker, I would say it's Willie Parker that can break tackles, because Willie Parker really didn't break that many tackles. Right?
That is
if
fair.
If he had straight line speed, like in the Super Bowl, he was gone. But if you got a hand on him, he was usually going down or at least tripping up. So
Andrew, Kenneth Walker, you were in elementary schools. Elementary school when Willie Parker was playing, I'm assuming. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. The only reason I know who that is because my uncle had him on his fantasy team, and he'd always be like, "That's my guy, yeah. Fast Willie. There he goes."
There you go.
Oh, right. That hurts.
I'll try not to get Bogman too depressed about that. Let's do one for Spiller here. Here's a couple of comps that have been thrown out for Isaiah Spiller: Joe Mixon, Rashad Penny, Damian Harris. It's a pretty wide expanse there, Bogman. Any of these three fit for you when
it comes
to Isaiah Spiller?
Rashad Penny. I think
healthy Rashad Penny was pretty good this year.
He was pretty good at the end of the year. Yeah. Pat and I were talking about him on the most recent Dynasty pod where we were going over running backs here, because I just can't do it with the injuries. But the end of his season in 2021 was fantastic. And I think that's the comp that I like the most for Spiller is probably healthy Rashad Penny.
You like the same thing there, Andrew? You like Penny, or do you prefer Harris or maybe Mixon on the high end?
I like the Joe Mixon one just because of the similar stature. You know, Isaiah Spiller is 6'1". It's weird because when you see these like taller running backs, you're like, man, that guy kind of looks like, especially if they don't have like super, super thick legs. It's like, is that guy like a right. wide receiver? Like what's going on? And some of that actually kind of like stood out to me as a comp just kind of based on his size profile a little bit was actually like David Johnson. Honestly, for Isaiah Spiller.
I like that one too.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Spiller was really involved in the passing game, 8% target share, averaged 25 catches per season. Now, he doesn't necessarily have the receiver background like David Johnson did coming out of school, but David Johnson was a third-round pick and was super productive, and wouldn't be surprised to see Isaiah Spiller get similar draft capital, but you know, take on a bigger role in the NFL.
All right, how about Williams? Let's do him too. Kyren Williams, would you say Giovanni Bernard, Deion Lewis, or Pierre Thomas? Any of those jump out to you there, Andrew?
Man, I just like, they're all just like the forgotten pass catching backs. You're like, oh, like,
yeah,
here's
the third
guy.
Down pass
like,
catching back guys,
so,
right?
So when I watched Kyren Williams, I immediately, again, this is kind of like projecting to the highest outcome of what a undersized running back
I almost
could be.
Feel like I know what you're going to say. But
Austin Eckler?
Eckler's a good one. I was thinking a little Antonio Gibson.
Antonio Gibson.
Shorter Antonio Gibson, but yeah, and the same type of role, a guy that can probably catch the ball better than he can naturally run, but you just want to get the ball in his hands. That's my thoughts on Kyren Williams.
Yeah, he just like, he's very, he, you know, obviously being, you know, 5'9", you're always kind of close to the ground. So it's like, oh, this guy runs really low. It's like, well, he's not very tall. So of course he's going to run.
He's just running.
Yeah. He's just running, but you know, the minute that I turned on the Kyren Williams tape, I was like, man, like this guy looks a lot like Eckler, and he's like fighting for extra yard. He doesn't play like he's under 200 pounds at 5'9". Like he plays much bigger, and we'll see if that holds up in the NFL. But the past two seasons at Notre Dame against, you know, pretty solid competition, Kyren Williams has been a really productive running back, especially in the receiving game.
All right. So let's move on from the running backs to the wide receivers here. Bogman, take us through what you think in terms of the rankings as we head into the combine coming up next week. What are your thoughts on the guys at the wide receiver position? Do you have tiers, ranks? Where are you at with these guys?
Yeah, I think the top seven are the same for everybody, but the rank in the top seven tier varies a lot. So the top seven to me, and these guys shouldn't do anything outside of interview in measure, in my opinion. I mean, some of them can't because of injuries, but Treylon Burks from Arkansas, Jahan Dotson from Penn State, Drake London from USC, John Metchie from Alabama, Chris Olave from Ohio State, Jameson Williams from Alabama, and Garrett Wilson from Ohio State. Now, London, Metchie, and Williams can't do anything because they are injured, but I don't think the other guys will do anything either because, you know, you're just, it doesn't serve you to do anything at the combine, you know, if you're already considered a first round pick. So I think it'll be smart for those guys to sit out. But the guys in the second group, there are so many good wide receivers that I think that are in this draft. This is just the way that the prospects are going. You know, you take from high school, the best the tallest, fastest guys are wide receivers and never corners and never safeties. You want, if they can catch, they're wideouts. They at least start at wideout. Now, if they turn out to have stone hands, go on the defensive side of the ball, son, you know, you can't catch the ball. So you're going to be a tall corner. You're great. You know, but you're Ike Taylor, you're JC Jackson, you're Trayvon Diggs. You're on that side of the ball. Right. Right? So,
Hey, Trayvon Diggs got some hands, man. I watch him in that skills competition.
Look, Trayvon
too,
Diggs maybe should be a wide receiver instead of,
I was going to say Trayvon's got,
cause he gets
good
dusted
hands.
Sometimes too. I mean, he give up the most yards in the NFL, but look, I mean, many times he thought he had help over the top. There's many excuses for him. But the second group is the big thing. And once again, we had Shrine Senior Bowl standouts, Christian Watson from North Dakota State, Calvin Austin from Memphis, Romeo Dubs from Nevada, Kyle Phillips from UCLA, and my guy Jalen Tolbert from South Alabama. All these guys, I think it's about just putting up decent numbers, maintaining your status from that, from those events. Other guys that are, I think, are going to move up here. George Pickens would be my number eight wide receiver. He might even be like, after those top guys, it might be Pickens in a tier by himself and then everybody else, in my opinion. Pickens from Georgia. I know a lot of people are in on Sky Moore from Western Michigan. I love him too. Wandale Robinson from Kentucky is kind of a dual threat, Antonio Gibson-y type of a player. And Khalil Shakir is a nice slot guy out of Boise State. So for me, it's who in that big, that's a large second group, who is going to separate themselves into those day two players versus a high-end day three player. And I think we're going to see there's going to be a lot of separation made for the secondary wide receiver group and all the running backs at this combine this year.
Boggs, talk to me about George Pickens for a second here, because that Georgia offense was not pressed very much, especially in the first 10 games or so of the year. So is there almost an incomplete next to his name right now? Is this a guy that really, if you circle him, right? If you circle Pickens, it feels like that's a dude that, if he has a great combine, could be one of these buzz guys that we end up talking about, because we just didn't see a lot of those moments. I mean, the defense played so well at Georgia. They ran the football. They had a ton of leads, and they didn't get challenged until we got into the nitty gritty part of the season there at all.
Pickens had so much going on in college too. Mm-hmm. He had off-field stuff. He had on-field suspensions. Right? He had injuries as well. But I mean, the talent is, you know, it's AJ Greenish at times. He absolutely has flashes. We saw that in the national championship game with that big 43-yard catch that he had down the field. He is an absolute playmaker, big body kid, 6'3", 6'2"-ish, something like that. A big frame too, great at the catch point. Yeah, I mean, Pickens is one of those guys that could absolutely be a better pro than he was in college.
All right, Andrew, let's go over to you and talk about the wide receivers here in this market. You've got Burks, you got Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Olave. Obviously, we talked about Williams and Mechie too, but those guys won't be participating. How do you kind of rank out these guys so far before we get to the combine? And obviously, as Bogman pointed out, some of these guys won't be participating, but do you have a feel for some of these guys already in your ranks? And is there somebody potentially at the combine who could rise up for you?
Yeah, I think that the guy that could probably move the most is Chris Olave, who I still have. I think I have him, I believe, at number five, but he's probably good. And the consensus is Garrett Wilson is over Chris Olave, even though, you know, both guys have both been really productive at Ohio State. Wilson was a little bit more productive this past season. And obviously he's also younger too. You know, he's an early declare. Olave could have came out earlier, decided to go back to school. Did that hurt him? Maybe, I don't know. He still was going to probably be a first round pick regardless. So, but I think he actually has a lot to gain if he ends up testing, because he should, again, like I talked about with Kenneth Walker, Olave should test really well, like speed wise, agility wise, like probably better than his teammate Garrett Wilson. So that may kind of, shorten the gap between the two guys in terms of ranking. You know, Wilson is usually the consensus number one in terms of the NFL drafting. And then Treylon Burks is usually the consensus fantasy number one, because, I mean, it's 6'3", 225 pounds. The guy is a size, speed specimen, just freak. Like, you watch him play and it's like, wow, like he's going to take this bubble screen to the house, 80 yards, touchdown. No, he's going to catch an 80-yard touchdown. So he is someone that I actually comp to like Demaryius Thomas, where it's like, dude, just get the guy the ball in his hand and he's just going to make magic happen. I do think he does contain a little bit more boom or bust to his profile, because I think that he needs to go to a good situation where they're going to use him in the correct way. Whereas a guy like Garrett Wilson, I just think that he's just a dynamite route runner. And it's like, okay, just put him out on an aisle. He's just going to get open. Like Deontay Johnson.
Well, is that valued more in the NFL at this point in time from a scouting perspective? Like, give me the great route runner over the great talent sometimes. I mean, you look at what Cooper Kupp did last year. Is that now going to be the new standard where it's like, yeah, you know what? Instead of favoring the super hybrid athlete guy, maybe we start to favor the guy who's the great route runner instead.
Well, I think that's the issue at hand, because it's like, before we get all the numbers, like, that's what we're all saying. It's like, yes, we want their best route runner. And then the guy runs a 4.43 and you're like, oh my God, like, we need this guy. Like, we need this guy. That's like,
well, you need one of each. You need your Lockett, and you need your DK Metcalf, right? That's what every team needs.
But it's the same reason why, you know, a couple years back, you know, Henry Ruggs went in front of Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb. And it was like, I mean, like, really? Like, should we?
You know, I thought that was a mistake then. I think it's obviously been a mistake proven, but that's kind of, I think, the danger of all of this. When you go
well,
to the
if
combine,
you put Ruggs with
testing.
Like Stafford, I think his career would have been much different. You put him with Derek Carr, who's not going to throw the ball downfield as much, specifically right when they drafted Ruggs. He was having just, I think, really confidence issues throwing the ball downfield. He has since gone back to throwing the ball downfield.
I was going to say, he's gone. This year was very
encouraging. This year was so much better, but the first year with Gruden, he was so afraid. I think he was so afraid of throwing a pick because Gruden was going to scream at him. He really quit doing it, especially the first half of the season. So, Ruggs could have had a way different career, but yeah, I mean, you need both those guys. You need those physical freaks to take the top off the defense, and you need a solid route runner to just eat up that coverage and make them get frustrated. So
let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Manscaped. You stink. That's right. I can smell you from here. And it's time that you looked into what Manscaped is offering you, and that is the Ultra Premium Collection. And believe it or not, it's for your private parts and your not-so-private parts. It's about leveling up your hygiene routine with your favorite manly scents. You want to smell like a man. You want to feel like a man. That's what Manscaped is all about. Heck, it's in the name, for God's sake. It says man right there. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code JOEYP. That's how you know it's good, because I am the face, nay, the scent of Manscaped. That's right. The code is Joey P. And right now at Manscaped, they've also got that Lawnmower 4.0 that's available as well as part of that Ultra Premium Collection. You can get that. I've been telling you what a great trimmer that is. You can use it on your beard. You can use it on other things. And I'm telling you right now, what they've got in this new package here, you've got the Hydrating Body Moisturizer, the Body Wash, the 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner. I don't even have hair on the top of my head, and I still use the shampoo and conditioner. You never know, it could grow back. Plus, a free gift, a 3-pack set of lip balm that's made up of ingredients such as vitamin E, peppermint, and eucalyptus oil. Outstanding, delicious, and it keeps those chappers feeling moist. So that's 4 products all there in the Ultra Premium Collection. What a score for you. So head over to manscaped.com right now and use that promo code JOEYP to get your 20% off and free shipping. Again, that promo code is JOEYP at manscaped.com, and order your Ultra Premium Collection today. Start smelling good. Start feeling good. It's all about the vibes, baby. We're giving you good vibes here at manscaped.com. So go check it out today. Tell them Joey P sent you. And now back to the action. Let's play a little game here. Okay, I got some comps here. Let's start with Chris Olave, since we were just talking about him before. Here's some comps that have been thrown out on him. Devonta Smith, Terry McLaurin, Calvin Ridley. I think that's a little high, personally. Scott Bogman, you got any feelings about any of these three comps come close to what you think Chris Olave's could be?
I mean, Terry McLaurin is the easy one. They both played at Ohio State, right? So right. I think that's the easy one for me.
How about you, Andrew? You agree with that, McLaurin, the one that kind of most likely?
I actually like the Calvin Ridley one. I don't think it's that much of a stretch. I think stylistically they play pretty similarly. And, you know, Calvin Ridley didn't enter the NFL, you know, known as this, he's like this elite deep threat. But when you look at all the numbers of him being targeted 20-plus yards downfield before, you know, not this past season when he obviously did not finish the year. The year before, he was the NFL's leader in air yards. Like, he had the most downfield targets, and he was super productive because of that. And that's kind of the same thing with Chris Olave. You know, kind of underrated, not really known for, he's just like this elite deep threat, because he's good at other things too. So he's like one of those guys where, you know, a lot of times with these vertical threats, like, the one trick pony, like, he can win deep. It's like, Chris Olave, yes, can win deep, but he can also do other things as well and be a normal traditional wide receiver like Calvin Ridley. So I do think that offers a lot.
I forgot I'm here with the Patriots fans that are so got to be excited about the Calvin Ridley rumors, right? I mean, all the Calvin Ridley rumors. You guys got to be excited about that.
Well, I just want someone else to throw the ball to. That's it. I mean, I don't care if it's Ridley. I don't care if it's Thomas. I don't care if it's the next guy here, Jameson Williams, who I want to talk about, because I don't know about you guys. I still think he's going to go very close to be taken in the first round because he was such an incredible talent.
He still
talent.
Could be the number one. That wouldn't shock
I don't think
me
he'll
all.
Be the number one. I really don't, but it wouldn't shock me. You're probably right. Here's some of the comps put on him. Jerry Jeudy, Will Fuller. This one makes me laugh. Taller DeSean Jackson. I keep harkening back to, I remember when DeAndre Hopkins came into the league and he was this skinny kid with stick legs who was just blowing by everybody and just had amazing hands and the ability to kind of make every play that you could possibly fathom at all times in a game. And then slowly he got a little bit bigger as he, you know, spent more time in the NFL and he got a little older. That's kind of like, you know, Hopkins light is kind of what I feel like Williams is. But Jeudy, Will Fuller, taller DeSean Jackson, any of these jump out to you, Andrew, in terms of a potential comp, or do you have one of your own?
Well, I mean, considering Williams is injured right now, I mean, Will Fuller seems like the perfect.
Oh, cheap shot, Erickson.
The perfect comp.
Zing, easy E. Easy E taking the cheap shot there, but still good. Very nice. But that's it? You don't have a real one? I thought you had a real. I thought you could say, but seriously, folks. The Will, there was no but seriously, folks, there after.
The Will Fuller comp, I think, is actually pretty good because when Will Fuller is healthy and on the field, he is an absolute difference maker. I mean, I think in 2020, he had the highest scoring game of any position player in fantasy. I think it was like 50 points when he had that 200 yards and three touchdowns or whatever it was. Maybe it was two touchdowns and 250. I can't remember. It was a lot of yards and a couple touchdowns at least, but it was like 53 points. And I think that is something that James Williams is going to big chunk plays. So for me, more of a big playmaker than Calvin Ridley or whoever the last guy was.
All right. Boy, oh boy, Andrew Erickson dropped that bomb and just walked away. I thought he had like a serious answer.
Everyone knows the shtick with Will Fuller is he's super productive when he plays. And then when he's not, he's
I know it's going to be like there's like a dead spot in the podcast now of me waiting for Andrew to go. But seriously,
crickets,
and it never happens. Crickets. All right. One more before we get out of wide receiver here. Treylon Burks. Some of the comps have been thrown out. Alshon Jeffrey, AJ Brown, Dante Moncrief. I hope it's not Dante Moncrief for his sake. Scott Bogman, any feelings on Treylon Burks? Any comps you want to throw out, or do you like one of these?
I didn't see this one, but Brandon Marshall is a guy that I think of when I think of Treylon Burks. Just a big guy, physical. He can make all those catches, and you can throw it to him short. He'll break a tackle and go. You can throw it to him deep, and he'll go up and get it. I love Burks. He's definitely my number one wideout here.
I think people forget how great Brandon Marshall was in his prime.
Outstanding.
He was a great wide receiver. What about you, Andrew Erickson, your thoughts on Burks, Jeffrey, Brown, Moncrief, one of your own?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned before Demaryius Thomas, I thought was right. Appropriate because I think Burks has more speed than a lot of those guys that have been comped. I think that he's much faster. And someone else that kind of stood out to me, Josh Gordon. Like, I really think Burks kind of falls into that character.
Like
he's a rare breed. Like he's a rare spot. I mean, if he runs, you know, whether it's at his pro day, if he runs in anything sub 4.4, like he's like approaching like DK Metcalf esque level athleticism when it comes to speed and size. So yeah, I think
like
that he's
Gordon
a rare.
One. That's
he's a rare
I hadn't
breed.
Thought about. I like that one.
Metcalf is a good one too. I think he's got more routes than Metcalf though.
Right, which is why I think maybe Gordon's the better one. I mean, that's another guy, too. This is the opposite of the other thing where it just said people forget about Brandon Marshall. Nobody forgets how good Josh Gordon was that one year with Cleveland. Nobody can seem to forget it for some reason. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Medcare Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind, and memberships cost as little as $85 for an entire year for your entire household. And right now at Fantasy Pros, as a listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FantasyPros, and no matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now, back to the action. All right, let's switch gears now to the quarterback position here. So obviously we've got the Kenny Picketts of the world. We've got Willis, Matt Corral. I know everyone's been really tough here on this quarterback class going in. And this is an opportunity here, I think, at the combine for these guys to maybe separate themselves. Bogman, of the guys at the top right now at the quarterback class, which has already been knocked quite a bit, do you think one of these guys can separate?
Yeah, and I think if I'm picking one, it's definitely going to be Malik Willis because he's going to run fast. He's got the best arm here. He's made for something like the combine where the rest of these guys I don't think really are. Matt Corral probably would have been, well, yeah, I shouldn't say that. Howell is, I think he's going to run a great 40 as well, but he's going to, you know, he's going to come in short. He's probably going to have small hands, you know, like the shorter guys do, which the hand thing, by the way, which is a big Kenny Pickett thing right now. It's so stupid to me. Like, don't look at and it's ridiculous. Teams will take a guy off their board if he doesn't have X measurement in his hands.
There was a guy a couple years ago who had the small hands. I don't remember who it was, and everyone's talking about it. It ended up like throwing for 4,000 yards. I can't, I'll remember Joe as Burrow. You keep talking. Was it Burrow with the small hand thing? I think it was. Yeah, it was Burrow.
With the hand thing. That's right. Yeah. Well, he's got small hands. Okay. Well, he just made it to the Super Bowl. Well, you think he could maybe
those small hands are around a cigar at the national championship game.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And they were almost around the Lombardi trophy, if not for.
Right. They were pretty close. Pretty close. Yeah, pretty close. P. Ryan dives, maybe. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's going to be small separators, but this is the most wide open group still. You know, I know our guys at PFF love. How most people love Pickett. He's number one on most boards. Malik Willis has the best traits of any of these guys. So this is going to be an enormous combine. But outside of the top guys, a couple other little things. I don't know much about Cole Kelly from Southeastern Louisiana. So I'm interested to see what he does and why he was invited. And then Derek King, you know, look, God bless him, but he measured in 5'8". You know, he's my height. So you ain't going to play quarterback in the NFL, 5'8", most likely. So is he going to switch positions during this, or is he going to try to stick at QB? I think that's a big thing for his future as well.
All right. Andrew Erickson, when you look at this quarterback class right now, are you with Bogman where Malik Willis is the guy that's going to stand out because in terms of athletic measurables, that's what the combine's all about?
Yeah, I think that when you look at him, I mean, he averaged almost 100 rushing yards per game the last two seasons. Like, this is a guy where we are just foaming at the mouth to get this guy a starting gig and so we can play him in fantasy football. And I think that something that we shouldn't overlook when it comes to this class and, you know, the entire dialect around this class is, oh, it's not as good as last year's. And if you look at how like all the quarterbacks played last year, you're like, oh, like, well, what does that really mean? Okay, this is going to be worse than last year. Like, none of the rookie quarterbacks really were that great last year. It's like, well, last year, a lot of the rookie quarterbacks went to bad spots. Like, that was the reason, true. I think, can be attributed to the reason why they didn't play as well. You know, Mac Jones.
And the one who
was,
went to a good spot was Mac Jones.
Exactly. Yeah. And then Trey Lance just didn't play. So, like, those were the two situations where you could have seen a rookie quarterback thriving. One of them didn't play enough. And the other one, you know, was the best one, Matt, in Mac Jones. So, because of, I'm really interested to see, like, whichever one of these quarterbacks ends up going to a team in the late first round. Like, to a good situation where they can potentially be surrounded with weapons, especially in the case of like a Sam Howell, where we
put him in New Orleans.
Yeah, we've seen Sam Howell play with NFL talent before, last year with Dyami Brown, with Javonte Williams, with Michael Carter, with Daz Newsome, and he was electric. And he was the consensus like number one quarterback heading into the 2021 season. He lost all of his guys to the NFL, and of course, he wasn't as good. But what he did do was show that, okay, well, if I can't throw it to all these great receivers, I'm just going to run the football. So I think Sam Howell is someone that is really interesting from a fantasy perspective because he showed that if you give me NFL talent, I will deliver the ball to my playmakers. And if you don't, then I'm just going to run for my life and pick up yards and get fantasy points that way. So this dual threat ability that obviously is being a lot highlighted by Malik Willis, I think Sam Howell has that a little bit too. And honestly, like if he were to land in like a place like Denver, like I would be intrigued by that because I know that the weapons are in place there. I know that, hey, who do they have at running back? Javonte Williams. Oh my God. It's a match made in heaven. So that's my spiel on Sam Howell.
Look, well, you know, I would love to
see.
That's a good
point. Go ahead, Box. Yeah.
Well, I would love to see him land there, but it's funny with him because he's somewhere between like Herbert and Tim Tebow. It's a giant window, right? It's a giant window to have. He's somewhere between there. Is he more Tebow Ellinger or is he more Herbert? You know, that's kind of where we need to go with Hal. But the dude can absolutely run. There are so many times I watched him and I went, that's Tim Tebow right there. It's like every time he took off with the ball, I knew he wasn't going to get tackled by the first guy. And he was probably going to have a huge chunk gain, and he did. So, I mean, I love, Howell landing in a good spot would be awesome for him. I think Andrew's absolutely right about that.
Interesting point, too, that you make, Andrew, about, you know, some of these teams who were bad last year, who took quarterbacks and are back in the draft early again. I mean, Jacksonville's back at the top, right? I don't think any of us really think Detroit's necessarily going to take a quarterback with the number two overall pick. The Jets got their quarterback. They're picking four. It's kind of a weird setup here where it's almost more appropriate that these quarterbacks are going to go a little bit later in the first round because that's probably more where they should go. But at the same point, it's a great point that you made that maybe these guys are going to go to better teams, and better teams right away, they might have a little bit more success and maybe ironically be a little bit more fantasy worthy at the end of the day. Let's do some of these.
Joe, it's the NFL, yeah. Man. So someone's going to trade up for a quarterback that they fall probably in love with. We just don't know who that's going to be and where it's going to be. So, but one of these guys is going to separate themselves here and going to be a guy that's traded up for sure. I would almost lock that up.
And that would be Willis, right? In your opinion?
I think so. Yeah. For me,
Andrew, you second that emotion? Willis would be the guy to trade up for?
I would presume yes, because he has the one thing that kind of separates him from everyone else. And it's just the athleticism, and it's the fact that he can run. And that's what we find out with these quarterbacks is like, yes. Like, does Malik Willis still have other things he needs to figure out? Yes. Like, does he hold onto the ball for a really long time? Yes, he does. So, but while he's figuring those things out, like, you can still win with him because he can run. Whereas these other more pocket passers, like a Kenny Pickett, potentially, who also holds onto the ball for a really long time with his quote unquote very small hands, he doesn't necessarily have that luxury of, oh, well, I can just make plays with my legs so I can buy, like, you're going to lose games potentially more with a guy who can't make plays if he's not delivering from the pocket. Whereas Malik Willis can figure things out. Like, you can win with a guy that can't throw. As weird as that sounds, like, we've seen it. Jalen Hurts, Tim Tebow, like, you can win games. It's not a long-term solution, but while you're developing and working through it, it's something that a mobile quarterback gives a team, provides a team, just to give them more time to develop them.
I think when we see the arm strength on Willis too, I think they're going to see all those crazy combine numbers of what he runs and all that stuff. And then they're going to see that he has the biggest arm in this group by a little bit of a stretch. And they're going to go, well, they're going to draft all the measurables. That's what's going to happen. Right.
And it might not be the wrong thing to draft all the measurables for the right team and the right quarterback.
Got to develop him. And that's the one thing is every single team is cocky and arrogant enough to think, well, we can develop this guy. Every single team is, well, we can develop him. We'll get him in here. We'll get him straightened out. So he's going to be drafted on measurables 100%.
All right. Fair enough. Oh, or would he just be drafted, say, by the Giants at 5? We're already sitting there.
Oh, man, I would love to see that. I would love to see that for the chaos. And then what happens with Daniel Jones? Does he get traded to Pittsburgh? Well, for and third I bring it up too because
you know, you got the new GM. They want to make a splash. You got Brian Daboll, who just came off working with a pretty incredibly athletic, gifted, young, toolsy quarterback. As we like to say, remember, it was like, well, he's so raw. All the raw athleticism of Josh Allen. Well, you know what? I can't teach that. I can't teach raw athleticism, but I could try to funnel it in. Teach him how to, you know, read defense, teach him where to throw the ball. So that would be a fascinating situation there, too, if the Giants just stayed put and maybe took him in the 5 spot.
I think Josh Allen was way more complete coming in the NFL, and he still got raw. You know, that he still had people calling him raw. So, yeah, it could definitely happen, man. This draft, because we don't have that Joe Burrow, because we don't have that number one overall 100% lock pick, it's going to make the front of the draft crazier than it normally has been. Well, it'll get honed in before, you know, we'll see who all these teams are talking to. And there's already rumors about the Steelers wanting to trade up for Malik Willis, which I think is a smokescreen, but we'll see. But yeah, man, I mean, it's going to be combine. This combine is bigger on the offensive side than it has been in a while.
And probably from the way we're talking about it, more important for the quarterbacks than it's been in quite some time.
Yes.
I mean, typically speaking, we kind of have the order of quarterbacks in our head, or they have their pro days or whatever it is, their workouts. But this is more like the audition, basically, because all these guys have something to prove. And obviously, you know, Corral with the injury, too. That's another piece of this puzzle. And it's funny, too. You could tell it's all over the board, because when you look at some of the comps being thrown out there for these quarterbacks, they are all over the place. They are hilarious, some of them. Listen to some of these. Malik Willis. One guy has him as Jordan Love. Another guy has him as plays like Hurts, throws like Cutler. Another has him as Cordell Stewart. I mean, these are all over the map. I don't know how to dignify these. This is an interesting one, though, too. Desmond Ridder, a quarterback we haven't really talked about too much. I think Ridder has a lot of poise in the pocket. I think there's some things, if he ends up in a good situation, there could be some potential.
That's P's guy. That's P's. He's talking about Ridder watching Cincinnati during the college show months this year.
I was. And you know what? I was right. Cincinnati was in there at the end, weren't they? I mean, look, they got their doors blown off, of course, when you start playing real football teams. But this is, that's what college football is. But here's some interesting comps on Desmond Ridder. And these guys, Alex Smith, Ryan Tannehill, those guys have become useful NFL quarterbacks and, at some point in time, useful fantasy quarterbacks, too. That's not, in terms of comp, that's not a terrible situation to put on top of Ridder, right, Boggs?
No, I think the Alex Smith one is pretty good. I think that's a solid one. I don't think he's as accurate as Alex Smith, but I think he can do a lot of the same traits as Alex Smith. Very, very smart quarterback, great leader in the huddle. Obviously leading Cincinnati to the playoff, first G5 team ever. So, I think that's a pretty good comp for him.
All right, what about Matt Corral? Let's talk about him for a second here. Andrew Erickson, some comps thrown to him. Baker Mayfield, which I don't really see that one. I don't get that one. Jim McMahon, that was a quarterback, by the way, Andrew, who played in the 80s for the Bears. Lord. I just want you to know. So I don't know if you can attest to that comp, but is there somebody that Matt Corral, pre-injury, that you thought, I think he could be this player in the NFL potentially?
So for me, I kind of viewed him as a slightly smaller version of Jimmy Garoppolo and more athletic. And unfortunately, Garoppolo has shown his durability issues, at the NFL level. And that's something that Matt Corral is currently dealing with, that he's going to have to overcome, where he's only listed 6'1" and 205 pounds. So yes, Corral has looked the part where he can, move around as a rusher, and he's made off script throws. He has a really good arm, but there are just things about his durability. It's like, okay, if you're going to take off and scramble and try to be mobile, are you going to last? That's a big concern with him. So I do think it's interesting that with Corral, all these other quarterbacks, the NFL has seen, they all saw them at the Senior Bowl, all side by side, taking throw after throw, except for Corral. He was the one guy that wasn't part of that equation.
And some scouts said he had the best Senior Bowl because he was the only guy that didn't play.
I heard that. I saw that tweet.
So is Corral not participating? Do we know that? Or is
he I don't, I can't imagine, because he just, that ankle injury was in the bowl game in December. So I don't think he'll do anything.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate that we don't get to see him, necessarily participate, because it would have been really eye opening for everyone. It's like, oh, wow. Who's the guy that stands out? Oh, well, the guy that wasn't at the Senior Bowl. Now, he looks like he's the clear alpha of this quarterback class, but because of the injury. And that's just part of kind of the grand scope of Matt Corral's profile, is that he has durability concerns.
I think the Baker Mayfield one is about perfect, by the way.
You like the Baker Mayfield one?
It's the size and it's the attitude. He's a little bit undersized, still got a nice big arm, and he can run. I think he runs better than Baker. I think Baker passes a little bit better than Matt Corral.
I'd agree with that.
They're both that fiery guy, too. They're both that in the huddle, that, clapping their hands on the sideline, rah-rah guys, too. So I think the Baker Mayfield one is very good.
All right, let's wrap things up here with the tight end position. Bogman, Trey McBride from Colorado State seems to be the consensus number one on all boards. But does that mean that he doesn't have any contenders for that number one spot heading into the combine?
It does not. And I got to tell you, man, there is a lot of great fantasy value in this tight end class. There are a lot of pass catching tight ends, because once again, if you're 6'4", 6'5", big body, big shoulders, and you can catch, you're going to be a tight end before you're an end, before you're a linebacker on most teams, because a lot of starting at the high school level, you want the offensive talent on the field. And Trey McBride is the number one. I think Greg Dulcich from UCLA is in competition. I know Daniel Jeremiah has been talking him up, hasn't been willing to move him ahead of Trey McBride quite yet, but this is a guy that had a huge Senior Bowl week. So he's going to move himself up. Jeremy Ruckert from Ohio State. Every single thing I've read about him, particularly from the Senior Bowl, was, wow, this guy underutilized as a receiver at Ohio State, because they had Chris Olave, they had Garrett Wilson, they had Jackson Smith and Jigba. They had all of these guys that are so much better with the ball in their hands, but Ruckert can absolutely catch the ball, and he's a great inline blocker, which gives him three down potential. And Jalen Weidermeyer from Texas A&M has also got the number 2, 3, 4 spot on most boards. But there's other guys here. Cole Turner from Nevada, big-time pass catcher. Not going to block at all. Big-time pass catcher. Isaiah Likely from Coastal Carolina. Evan Ingram-esque, never going to block, always going to catch, just a receiving tight end. Chigozie Okonkwo from Maryland, just a physical freak, huge, big mismatch type of guy. Jake Ferguson is getting all kinds of Dallas Goedert, Dalton Schultz comps for out of Wisconsin. He's going to be great. Grant Calcaterra is an injury-prone tight end, actually medically retired at one point due to concussions, but came back, but he's a great pass catcher. Jelani Woods is the biggest mismatch of all of these guys out of Virginia at, I believe he's at 6'6", maybe 6'6 and a half, 250 pounds, just enormous. You just, all he's got to do, he doesn't have to body him up. He just has to run in front of someone to catch the ball. He's just going to box him out like it's an NBA rebound. So lots of great pass catching tight ends in this class.
Andrew, when it comes to the tight ends, what's the landscape look like for you heading into the combine too? Does McBride just go out there and show everybody he's the clear cut one, or you think there's some challengers there?
Yeah, I think that there are some challenges, because I don't think McBride is going to necessarily like test as a, oh, like this is a guy's like a freak. Like he's not that. Like he is a really sound all around tight end. Like, and that's not a bad thing. And that's kind of why he is at the top. And you especially look at his receiving production, just looking at what he did at Colorado State, you know, over 1,100 receiving yards, which was 37% of the team's total passing yards. Like he was like the featured part of their offense at Colorado State, which you just don't see. It's really unheard of to put up those kind of numbers at the tight end position, especially at the college level. But like Bogman is alluding to, in the case of like a Jeremy Ruckert, like, you know, if Ruckert had played for Colorado State, like he probably could have been putting up those numbers too. But he played for Ohio State, where there were other talented receivers around him, so he didn't really have that opportunity. So I think that's important to keep in mind, that yes, McBride was excellent at the college level and he has this really great college production profile, but there are a chance that some of these other tight ends really are identified better as mismatch nightmares, as guys you want to flex out. Why? Like that's not McBride. McBride is, you know, quote unquote, like a, I kind of compared to like Todd Heap, where it's like, this guy's going to go out, he's going to catch 50 balls every single season. And you're going to be like, all right, cool. Like he's reliable, he's good, but he's not dynamic after the catch. Like he's going to, you know, roll around, you know, pick up a couple yards and then go down, especially when he's facing much tougher competition than he played at Colorado State. You know, he wasn't playing really anyone too tough, so he was able to pick up chunk yardage. Not necessarily going to be the case in the NFL.
It's so funny you said Todd Heap, because this weekend I hooked up the old PlayStation 2 for my daughter and I said, hey, you want to play Madden? I'll teach you how to play Madden. And it was the 2008 Vince Young cover, and she chose the Ravens. And she was out there throwing the ball. Steve McNair.
I was going to say, was it McNair? Heap. Yeah.
It was. And I just, so weird that Todd Heap has now come up in twice now.
Stroke him in the flats every single time.
That's all she kept doing. It was working. I was like, hey, if it was working for you, just keep sticking with it. You know, she's a pro too, because after she played for the first time, she was like, she's found the drills and the skill set drills, and she's wanted to go there and start doing the skill set drills. Hilarious. God, I love that kid. All right. You know, you mentioned about some of these, you know, comps that you were throwing out there. Some ones for Trey McBride, Austin Hooper, Dallas Goedert. Does that feel right about to you, Andrew, as well?
I think the Hooper one is maybe too insult. I mean, like Hooper is kind of like the prototypical, like, all right, catch the ball, fall down. I think it's too low. And I think Goddard's probably too high. I think Goddard is like a really, really talented guy. So I think my Heap one is more, you know, on par with
the I think Heap is about perfect.
So yeah. I think that
we should be putting these in the spreadsheet box, because you guys have come up with some better ones than some of these.
I already had the idea to DM Andrew when we're done and say, hey, give me your comps. I want to put them in here. So
you got to put these in there. They're so much better than somebody's one. they're like combinations of guys are putting, well, he's got the legs of this guy and the arm of this guy and the face of that guy. It's terrible. That's not your comp of player.
Well, yeah, but this is why I don't do comps, because people get mad when you have one wrong. And so I more like comps in terms of production. How do I think these guys are going to produce at the next level? Not necessarily their play type, but you know, to me, that's what I want when I'm doing fantasy stuff. So I try to think in terms of production, not in terms of what do they actually look like. I think some of these, you know, like the guys at the Draft Network, they do you know, better comps than anybody, but it's like you can comp a guy to Shard Choice because he has that same playing style, but you're the only guy that's going to remember Tashad Choice. He didn't play in the NFL that much, right? So that's my thing with comps. They come from all over the place. And what are you doing? Are you doing in terms of production, what they look like out there, what their play style is like? There's many different ways to comp a guy too. So that's why these are interesting and why we like looking at them. I think four guys had Austin Hooper on wide receivers, three guys.
I know, everyone's
three
like,
different
yeah,
guys and Marvin like, Jones, he's Austin right? Hooper. Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Here? He's a big goofy white guy. So he's Dallas Goedert, Dalton Schultz, or Austin Hooper. You know, he's Todd Heap. He's Heath Miller. You know, he's
Todd
he's
Heap was
guys.
Better than people for another
Todd
one
Heap
too.
Was Todd great. Heap, ASU.
Todd man. Heap was pretty good, man. He was a solid tight end. I got to ask you this last question about tight end before we wrap things up for today, too. We saw Kyle Pitts, obviously, you know, nobody compares to that guy. He's in a different universe. But Freiermuth had a really nice season, too. Are we starting to shred the myth of rookie tight ends can't come in and do anything in the NFL? Or is this class coming in going to reset us back into that notion? Boggs, what do you think?
I think probably that's closer to it. Because a lot of these guys, look, you know, a lot of these guys are great pass catchers, but for most of them, outside of McBride and probably Dulcich, specifically Jeremy Ruckert, the blocking, you got to be able to block to stay on the field in the NFL, because they need you to block in the run game. And so, you know, these guys, a lot of them are going to have games where they make a couple big plays and maybe score a touchdown, but they're not going to be on the field for three downs, most of them. So, you know, it's probably going to be one of those where Trey McBride is your number one producer year one. Dulcich is probably two, and then it's probably going to be Ruckert, who's not super flashy, but gets open and is on the field for those targets. So, yeah, I think this class, while it's good and has a ton of upside, is probably going to be a little bit frustrating in development.
And next year, you know, you got guys like Brock Bowers from Georgia. You've got the kid from Utah who's fought. I don't even know if he's, is he really a tight end? I don't even know.
I don't know that he's a real NFL prospect. We'll see.
I don't know. But I mean, that's the thing. I think next year's tight end class might be a little bit more, you know, or a little sexier potentially from the fantasy perspective here. All right. That'll do it for us right here. We just gone through all of these prospects, a little bit of a preview, as it will, as we go into the combine. And then I'm sure after the combine, we'll have a lot more to talk about, too. Maybe we'll see somebody run a 5.4 40, and we'll have a lot to talk about
their draft. If it's not Jordan Davis, I don't know who it would be. So.
But I'm sure, especially from the quarterback perspective, too, we're going to have a lot to talk about after. And next week, obviously, is the combine, some very exciting stuff. So great stuff here from Scott Bogman breaking down these players, and Andrew Erickson, and all of us giving you some comps here, how you should start looking at these players and what their potential might be as they get to the NFL level. But also, too, you know, some of these, I think, reprogramming our brain a little bit to where it's not the quarterback class, probably, no matter what, raw talent-wise of last year. You know, and in terms of some of these position skill set players, it looks like a pretty good wide receiver class, a running back class, also some question marks there too. So this is going to be more important than ever. And this is why I encourage you to make sure you're listening to the Dynasty Football Podcast, because every single week, Pat Fitzmaurice and Scott Bogner be talking about these guys, I'm sure, in the next few weeks to come. So you are prepared for all your dynasty drafts. And tell you what, in redraft, it's equally important now. How much of an impact did the Najee Harris's and Javonte Williams and, oh, some guy from Cincinnati, oh, can't remember his name. He was pretty good too, some rookie out of the gate. Basically, you got to know these guys. And you got to be ready to put draft capital in redraft into them as well. And that's why we're doing what we're doing here at Fantasy Pros for all of you. And while we do it, make sure you watch it over on the YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros and click that notifications bell whenever a new piece of content comes out. You will be aware of it. We're going to have some huge draft coverage coming at you pretty soon in the weeks ahead. Also, once you subscribe there, you can go and win yourself some free stuff. Few days left for that Stephon Diggs autographed helmet, thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. Head over to fantasypros.com/contest to enter yourself into that as well. I want to thank all the sponsors of today's show, including Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com right now and use that promo code JOEYP to get 20% off and free shipping with the Ultra Premium Collection and start to smell better and smell like a man. Also, I want to thank our friends at Pristine Auction. Head over to pristineauction.com today. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. And get a $5 credit on us when you sign up with the promo code FANTASYPROS to start bidding on the most amazing stuff. My Tom Brady stuff just showed up that I bid on. I'm so excited. The box is here right after the podcast. I'm going to open it up and hang it up on my wall for everybody to see. And I got it at pristineauction.com. Also, Air Medcare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is a protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Scott Bogman and Andrew Erickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.